night with the Golden Globes. Yeah. Whoa, whoa. There's someone you wanna know. Yeah. Whoa, whoa. This is love I gotta show. Let's say you're a prisoner. Your fears are the walls that keep you from his arms. Living it all, convention's the warden, deceit locks the door. Well, I got the keys, baby. You're ready for more. Whoa, whoa. There's something you wanna know. The Golden Globe. Whoa, whoa, whoa. There's someone you wanna meet. Whoa, whoa. His love's for eternity. You're so disillusioned from all that you hear. You'd like to be free, but there's so much to fear. Well, I got the answer, tailor-made for you. Just call out to Jesus, he'll come rescue you. Oh, oh, oh. He's right here knocking at your door. Hey, oh, oh, oh. Have no fear, love can do much more. Hey, oh, oh. Truth that you wanna know. Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. There's no place his love cannot go. Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Jesus lives, can you hear his call? Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Take his keys and break down the walls.
On the third day of March 2023. We're glad to have you being here with us this evening as we have a live time together and we do study of the word and do some deliverance at the end of the after the word, and then we'll have a little bit of news to open up, and we're going to pray, and we'll get into this good word here tonight, the good word of God and what he has for us tonight. And I believe it'll be, you know, something to stir us up, because we need stirred up. We need to be full of Jesus every day. Oh, man, I tell you what, there's so much to be had if God's people would just have it. You know, if they just go after it with all their heart, if they could get hungry. You know, if you're not hungry, you won't be filled. You have to get hungry first. And then you will get filled, right? That's how things work in the spirit. Those who hunger and thirst, right? Those are the ones who are going to get filled. Those who just kind of, you know, don't care that much, well, they're not going to get filled up. They're just going to, you know, doesn't mean they won't be saved. It just means, man, they're just not living the Christian life to the full extent. And, of course, you know, I believe if you don't believe in deliverance, you're certainly not living the Christian life to the fullest extent, because you're going to keep your demons all your life. And how many people are doing that in the church today? Either because of willful ignorance, or because nobody taught them, or just because they don't believe a Christian can have a demon. But Jesus never said Christians couldn't have demons. In fact, he said deliverance was the children's bread. So the children of God are the ones who really can benefit from deliverance, because if you cast a demon out of an unsaved person, guess what? The demons are coming right back, because they aren't going to stay out unless that person gets saved and they can maintain what they got. The demons are coming right back, but not with a believer. Amen? All right, let's open up with a little bit of news here. Welcome you to the broadcast today. Denver, Colorado becomes the first U.S. city to decriminalize psilocybin, which is the mushrooms which cause hallucinations. That's right, and the initiative would end criminal penalties for those over 21 using or possessing psilocybin mushroom. And of course, people don't know this, but there's a number of resorts that people can go to around the world where you can take LSD, ketamine, and mushroom, psilocybin, and other psychedelics and hallucinogens. Yeah, luxury retreats to go to get loaded on these or get high on these or whatever you want to call it, psyched out on these. Really, I believe in nothing but an open door to devils, because people have spiritual experiences and they're not usually good ones either, they're deceptive ones. And so that's what happens with people who are on LSD and psilocybin and those particular things. But anyway, there's a number of these around the world, and some of them are very luxurious. Like you go as near as Mexico or even California, or you can go to Costa Rica. They have one there, and the Netherlands, and these are the luxury ones. I mean, they probably have a lot of others that are not luxuries, but these are the luxury ones. Yeah, many other countries, you know. And so they're reporting that climate-related cases of depression and post-pandemic depression has skyrocketed. So many people are turning to LSD, and even John Hopkins, the hospital group says it may be helpful. Oh, but hello, the side effects and the demonization of taking that, really. It's not worth it, okay? It doesn't bring you closer to Jesus. It'll take you further away from him. And so we see Discover Card to begin tracking all gun purchases made with Discover Card in April. And the social credit system is emerging more and more. Christian school in Vermont pulls out of a tournament instead of playing with trans athlete. That's right, an all-girls basketball team at a Christian high school in Vermont forfeited the state's playoffs tournament last week rather than play, against a team who had a transgender who is male playing on an all-girl team. They stood up and said, no, we're not going to play that. We have given up our state playoff tournament, but we just refused. And, you know, people do need to stand up and say no. I tell you, so many Christians don't have any backbone or spine when it comes to saying no. No to the world system. No to the demonic realm. Just learn to say no. And they said no. And so, well, third generation pastor James Edward Smith II was arrested in Florida for selling the church. Well, they said allegedly selling the church, but he did sell the church, or it was in the process of it, selling the church for $600,000 to support his expensive drug habit. New Jerusalem Baptist Church in Pompano Beach, is that how you say that, Florida? That's what happened, and he got arrested for doing that. And so, yeah, that's the Florida news. He's a third-generation pastor, but he had a drug habit, man, big drug habit. He needed deliverance. He needed to get right with the Lord and then get those demons out, right? Well, the governing board of Washington Elementary School District in Arizona, after 11 years without incident, allowing the student teachers to come from an Arizona Christian university, has rejected them from coming and disallowed them to come anymore due to their biblical values. And the board unanimously voted to stop the practice because of the threats the students' biblical value system poses to the LGBT students. Yeah, keep the Christians away from them. They might hear the truth, right? We wouldn't want them to hear the truth, would we? We wouldn't want them to get set free from the lies and the deceptions of these false teachers that are, you know, controlled by the devil and saying things to ruin the young people of our day even more than the government school was already ruining them. You know, if I had children in government school, I'd get them out. Tell you, I wouldn't let them go to a place like that. And we homeschool, so I know that it's possible that we could have done that, because we did do that. For our oldest daughter, she went a couple of years, but our youngest daughter never went to the government school system. So, yeah, I practice what I preach, you know. Chocolate giant Hershey's sparks a boycott threat with new candy bar called the Hershey, called H-E-R-S-H-E, that promote transgender women. That's right. Promotes transgender women, actually, who are, you know, men, in their new ad campaign. And so, yeah, I wouldn't support Hershey anyway, but sure wouldn't support it for them doing that, right? Tucker Carlson calls out Beth Moore and David French and Tim Keller for not opposing Drag Queen Story Hour and not speaking out against these things. And, yeah, Beth goes on a gay Christian podcast, which those two words really don't go together, but gay Christian, somebody who thinks he's a Christian and is a gay, to rant over women not being able to preach any longer in the Southern Baptist Church. Okay, of course, Beth Moore, she is pro-homosexual, so pro-homosexuality, homosexual, and has acquaintances that are involved in that and friends. And so anyway, that's another story. But next item, the so-called Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff. Yeah, he used to be real popular, but he's not as popular anymore. But he hosted recently Spencer Clavin, a man who is an openly practicing homosexual and married to another man, on his podcast. He claimed he hosted him because he has a lifelong devotion to the principles of the West. Oh, really? How can that be for a nation birthed on Judeo-Christian ethics and beliefs? So obviously he's not following that. So his lifelong devotion is hypocritical, in my opinion. But anyway, millions of caterpillars have invaded southeast Turkey. And they just keep coming, even though they've sprayed them until they've run out of insecticide. And so they've sprayed, and they just keep on coming and coming and coming. While the Turkish government supports pedophilia, and their government minister of religion just came out and reiterated that it's okay for the Muslims to be participating in pedophilia, which... Really? And you just had that major earthquake? Really? And don't you have any fear of God there in that country? Obviously not. And people were, actually, a lot of the citizens were amazed that they were coming out strong on pedophilia right after the earthquake like that. Something's wrong with somebody. They have no fear of God. They have no fear of respect for the things that are right and wrong and that are perverted. And so they're practicing pedophilia with the children. The men there do that as part of Islam and think there's nothing wrong with that. Well, Lord, we pray you convict them of that. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So that's all the news I'm going to share tonight, because that's not the most important thing we do here. But I want to give you a little bit of something going on out there in the world as we begin this broadcast tonight. Lord bless you tonight. I hope you're doing all right and that Jesus is filling your life in every area and that you're being an overcomer over all the attacks of the evil one. And we welcome you tonight and pray you be blessed and encouraged tonight. May the Lord minister to you as we get into this word here, and I believe it's going to be one to bless you. And it's a little different than some of the ones that we've taught recently, but I tell you, there's a place for this type of word as well, especially in the condition that we see a lot of the church in America today. So we'll get into that in a minute. Let's open up in some prayer here tonight. I want to pray for some people that are having physical problems in their body and rebuke it in their lives tonight as we open up in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for your goodness and your grace toward us and the abundant life that you've given us so freely for those who will receive it, Lord. We praise you for it. And, Lord, we want to pray for the sick tonight, Lord. So many that are on my mind here, Lord. I pray for, again, for a particular person who has lived so far and will continue to in Jesus' name, and has a number of things that have been attacked in her body. And Lord, we just come against those things and refuses to go back to the hospital and to the doctor and just going to trust you, Lord. And so, Lord, we pray that you will honor that, because there may be a day where all of us just have to trust you and never go to the doctors again, because we won't be allowed to. Because if you do, it'll be, compromising our Christian faith. But anyway, I'm praying for her, Lord, that you will just completely and totally heal her. And thank God she's doing better, Father. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, I pray for another person, Lord, who's struggling with various areas in their body, a number of things, being attacked in a number of areas. And, Lord, we rebuke the devil off this person's life, and we pray that they will live and not die in the name of Jesus. We speak life and health into their bodies right now, Lord. You know I'm talking about, Father. I don't want to mention people's names here unless they say it's okay. And, Lord, we just rebuke these spirits that have attacked this person and try to take them out before their time, Lord. And thank you for healing their body. And, Lord, also for the young man that's in the hospital in Texas, Father, that has a growth on the brain, Father. We rebuke that growth. We rebuke that tumor in the name of Jesus, Father, and thank you for complete and total healing for that young man, Father. In the name of Jesus, we give you the glory for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are the healer, Father. Your word says, by your stripes we were healed. So, Lord, if we can receive it, Lord, we can walk in that health and healing. I've been healed many times, and I know many people that we've laid hands on, and they've been healed as well, Father. So I believe in healing. I believe it's part of the promises of God, Father. And I thank you for that promise. I thank you for Psalm 103, who he says, who forgiveth all our iniquity and healeth all our diseases, Psalm 103. I praise you for that scripture, Lord. That's true. You said not some, but all, Father. You want to heal all, but not all are in a position to receive that. But Lord, I thank you that we walk by faith and not by sight and our senses, Lord. I don't want to be ruled by those things of the carnal nature, Father, but we want to walk in the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Faith is spiritual because it came from the heavenly realms. You are the author and finisher of our faith, and you are a spirit, and we worship you in spirit, and we worship you as we exercise our faith, Lord, to receive from you. And we thank you for that today, Father. We thank you for change in our lives, Father. We thank you, Lord. Lord, for victory over people who have anger, Lord. Because anger is killing people today because they don't repent for their anger. They don't turn away. They don't confess it as sin, Father. And so, Lord, it brings demons in, and then ultimately it can kill them. And so, Father, I pray for those who have anger problems tonight, Father. I rebuke that anger in Jesus' name, and I just pray, Lord, health and healing for them as they turn away from that anger and confess it as sin and move out of that in Jesus' name, because the Bible says the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. And so we know that when we're in anger, we are in the flesh, and we are not manifesting the Spirit of God. We're manifesting another spirit, and if we are given to anger and we inherited anger from our parents, then we just have to break the curses of that anger and confess it as a sin and get it out of our lives and get the demons out of that anger, Lord. So we rebuke those anger spirits right now that are dominating in many Christians' life today. And we just pray for their deliverance, that they'll come to the place of partaking of deliverance, getting free from that anger. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we ask your blessing on the broadcast tonight, on this radio service that we're having here tonight. Ask your blessing on it, that you would minister life to your people and powerfully touch them in the name of Jesus, we pray. And we give you glory for each and every listener, Father. Ask you to minister to their lives, Father, touch them in the spirit, Father, that they would be touched, Father, and their lives would be touched, and they would be transformed, Lord, by your spirit working in them and change, Lord. We want to change. We want to be more like you, Jesus. And, Lord, we can do that by the spirit of the Lord working in us. From you change us, even as by the Spirit, it says in the Word, Father. Thank you for that change taking place and manifesting your work in us. And bless the broadcast now. In Jesus' name, we cover it with the blood of Jesus. And we give you all the glory for what you're doing in advance in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Say thank you, Jesus, tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, we got a word for you tonight. And we're going to get into that now. So glad to have you here. Lord bless you tonight. We'll just get into this now. Invasion, that's the title tonight. We are seeing an invasion in our land, and it's increasing even as we sit here tonight, or whatever you're doing tonight. And so what are we doing here? You know, what does a believer in Jesus do at times like we're living in today? First, we're going to have to wake up. The church, that is a large part of it, that is, has been sleeping while the devil invades and brings all out demonic warfare in against the church, trying to get people to compromise. And the compromise today has settled into a lot of the church, and demons reside within to maintain their positions in the lives of believers. Christians have allowed the infiltration of the worldly devils into its midst and have put up very little resistance. And now there's a real serious condition of much darkness in God's church. You know, the Bible has given us authority over the devil. Why aren't believers using it? The Bible says, resist the devil, he will flee. That he might flee, that he will flee. So if God's people would rise up and begin to take the keys of the kingdom, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and begin daily binding and loosing, we may begin to see some breakthroughs, tremendous breakthroughs. If God's people would engage the enemy in spiritual warfare and spiritual conflict, they would see things change. But either they're ignorant or they're lazy, or they're untaught, or they just don't want to fool with it, you know, or they just simply don't care, or they just have been deceived by the enemy. I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but people just don't engage, and the enemy certainly is engaging them, whether they know it or not, whether they're aware of it or not. So we have to ask ourselves: is he going to have to spew the lukewarm out of his mouth? Unless there's an awakening and a returning to their first love and a rejection of uncleanness and compromise and devils, he may have to. Remember, the first three chapters of Revelation are not written to the Old Testament church, you know. Some of it sounds like Old Testament, but it's not. It's written to the church of a new covenant. You know, we have a better covenant than they had, and yet he wrote that to his churches. The seven churches of the New Testament, you know, and Jesus spoke to who? The angels of the churches, which is the Greek word for messengers, meaning the leaders or the pastors of these seven churches. And I believe that, you know, some people say, you know, the Laodicean church is the last days church. But I believe, you know, there are some of all of these churches through every time period in history. But let's go over to Revelation 3:15, and let's just read what he said here to the church of the Laodiceans here in verse 15. I know thy works, that Jesus talking to his churches, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest that I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Wow. Can Christians be that deceived? I'm afraid that they can. I mean, yeah, I'm concerned that they can, because I've seen it. So I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. In other words, to go ahead and let the fire of God burn the garbage out of your life, right? That thou mayest be rich and white raiment, that is the righteousness of God. Put on the righteousness of God today, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And this, again, scripture, they use this next verse for salvation scripture, but no, this is talking to the churches here. Behold, I'm standing at the door and knocking, right? He's saying, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door, I'll come in and, to him, and we'll sup with him and he with me. And so, yeah, he's talking about people that need to be overcomers here. We need to be end time overcomers. Okay? And we don't want, notice that neither hot nor cold. It's better for you to be cold rather than lukewarm. And this is an apt description of much of the American church today. Okay? And so I'm just exhorting you tonight. Don't let yourself get in that kind of condition. Okay? Don't let yourself get in that kind of condition today. Go to Jesus and turn from this deceptive condition and walk again totally dependent on Jesus with your robe of righteousness as your covering. And then let God open your eyes of your understanding and see, you know, we got to walk in the spiritual eyes. You know, we have the mind of Christ, so let's start seeing with the mind of Christ. That's our spiritual mind. You know, the mind of Christ is the mind of Jesus, you know, and Jesus says that God is a spirit. We worship him in spirit and truth, so we need to think with a spiritual mind instead of the carnal mind, because the carnal mind is at enmity with God. The carnal mind has devils attached to it, right? Paul even said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, meaning something's alive and living in his flesh. It was demons. Paul had demons. You know, we all have demons. Everybody has demons. Nobody, I've never met any Christian that didn't have demons. And so we just get that out of the way right away, see, because if you think, well, that's not me, he's not talking to me, well, then you're walking around in deception and pride, okay, because everybody has demons. Okay, it's the children's bread. God give it to his children. Do you just eat your bread one time? Yeah. He said to that woman who came to him for deliverance, a Syrophoenician woman who wanted deliverance for her daughter, you know, he said, it's not me to take the children's bread and give them to the dogs, meaning the Gentiles. Okay, so it belonged to the lost people. You know, people just say, oh, a Christian can't have demons. That's just for lost people and drug people and, you know, all that. Well, no, hello. Jesus himself said it's the children's bread. And it's not me to give it to the dogs, the Gentiles, the people who are not Christians. And wouldn't you say that the Jews were the closest thing to a Christian during that day? And so here we are, Jesus telling them it's for the believers. And so what happened there? Well, because of her saying, hey, even the dog eats the crumbs off the table, she got deliverance for her daughter. The Lord did it for her because of her faith and because she came to him and asked. So praise God. So, yeah, the children's bread is more than one time. You know, we need to check ourselves regularly and make sure that, you know, these demons are coming out and we're getting rid of these things and anywhere we pick up in life. You know, we get rid of them. Like, it's easy to pick up some spirit of unforgiveness towards somebody out there. You know, if somebody does you wrong, or even going out into the hospital system, there's spirits hanging out there looking to get on somebody and go home with them, or at funerals, there's spirits hanging around at a funeral waiting to get on people. If they find an open door, they'll get in there. So we need to be aware of these things and be on guard, okay? and be wise and let God open our eyes and see the demonic blindness has blinded too many people, and they're living in a demonic stupor in this land. LGBTQ has been accepted by many people in the church. I mean, they were even involved in the Asbury Revival. There were some gay people that were right there on the, up in the front, singing or performing. I forget what it was, whether they were playing an instrument or just singing, but they were up front, and they admitted they were gay but not practicing at the moment. But see, you cannot even identify. They identified as gay. But what's up with that? You know, and I don't like that word because they're certainly not gay. It's not a happy lifestyle. I've known some homosexuals. It's not a happy lifestyle at all. I know some who have even died from AIDS and in the past, and it wasn't a happy lifestyle. It's a demonized lifestyle because they do things that are abomination, that are perverted, and demons just, you know, flock onto them. And anyway, that's another story, but... But, you know, that doesn't stop the people that were really hungry for God from getting touched by God in that revival and that is even spreading around still, okay? Just because some homosexuals were there doesn't mean that the people who really have hungry hearts, that aren't, they aren't getting blessed. And come on, you know, that's ridiculous, okay? If you're hungry, God's going to meet you. If you're a true Christian, you're there crying out for God, or if you're getting born again and you cry out for God, he's going to be there for you, okay? And God knows how to separate the wheat from the tares. How many know that? And even if they seem to grow together for a while, and we know look back at the apostles. When Jesus was walking the earth, he said, one of you is the devil. He knew Judas was in there stealing money from the treasury most of the whole time that he was walking as a disciple. And so that would mean one out of every 12 believers is a tare, is somebody that's not going to see it through. At least that, maybe more, we don't know, but at least one out of 12. Anyway. That's just a thought there, but hey, that's the way I've seen it over the years. So it's time for an awakening in God's people, okay? Eyes have been blinded by devils, but hey, we need to have an awakening. We need to have a national awakening. We need to have awakening in the churches today. Get the sin out. Break its control over people, because wherever sin is, there's demons. The Bible says, speaks of sin as a living entity in Genesis, where it says, sin lieth at your door and its desire is for you. Speaking of the demons accompany sin. Okay, so be on guard. If you sin, then just thank God for the blood of Jesus. Cleanse you from that sin and receive that cleansing blood and shut the door immediately on those demons, and you're not going to pick them up. But if you leave that door open, you're going to pick up some demons. Okay? And people need to face their demons for this to fully take place, okay? They need to face their demons. A lot of people don't want to face their demons. They like their demons, and they enjoy the feelings that their demons give them because they experience the demon personality when the demon manifests, right? And so there needs to be a revelation of people's wretched condition of compromise and lukewarmness, and then there need to be a return to the walking in his righteousness and holiness, and stay clothed with your robe of righteousness and walk that way. Simply a hating of evil and turning away from it and confessing, man, I have sinned. And he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, forgiveth our sins, okay? And if we've embraced sin, we confess that. And if we've let it embrace you, then you confess that. And going to the place of refuge. You know, God people need to be living in a place of refuge and safety and learning to abide there. I want to talk about that place for a bit here, too, as we get in deeper into this. Okay? Because in these days and times that we're living in, and you know what times we're living in, we're living in the latter days, there's no question about that. It's biblically proven that we're living in that time and season. And so we need to know how to live in the place of refuge. And we know that in the last days there's going to be perilous times like never before. And we are seeing them beginning and taking place before us. So what should we as Christians do? What should we, you know, there's a place where the children of Israel have refuge, and we need to find our Goshen. That's right. Find your place of refuge. Let's just look at what happened back in the Old Testament when they were living in their place of refuge. What was going on? Let's go to Exodus 8, 21. Exodus 8, verse 21. If you're looking them up, that is. If not, I'm just going to read it to you. So you'll hear it. Exodus 8, 21 through 23. It says, "Hear, else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians, and shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. To the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, and I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." Okay, so there it is right there. There is a refuge place in God. And there is one today too, right? There is a Goshen today, 9:26. Let's read that one. "Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail." Again, the hail was falling on the Egyptians. And, you know, it's going to be that way in the last days too, of course. And we'll talk more about that in a minute here. 10:21, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." See, in Goshen, they had light. See, in their refuge, they were not suffering the wrath of God. They were not suffering that. We're not appointed to the wrath of God. A lot of people say that has to do with the rapture. No, that has to do with the tribulation period when God pours out his wrath. We're not under the wrath of God right now. You'll know it when we're under the wrath of God. Now, Satan has come down with great wrath, and people are suffering that with the weather warfare and all the different things that are going out there with the COVID and demonic COVID, the spirits that are involved in that and all that, all these different things that have taken place. Yeah, the devil is doing that. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's not the wrath of God. You're going to know it when the wrath of God comes, but we won't suffer the wrath of God. We will have the seal of God on us, and we will not suffer the wrath of God. But the world is going to suffer it. And so we'll be, you know, in our Goshen place of safety, you know, even if we're walking right by them and they're having these boils break out on them or whatever, but we're not. Okay? So do you see something in all of these accounts? There was a place of refuge for God's people. There is a place of refuge for God's people. And we know that there will be 7 vials and 7 seals or last plagues come upon the earth before Jesus comes. There will be a land of Goshen for God's people then too, a secret place of the Most High God, see? A place of divine protection, but not necessarily for every Christian. Why? Well, Goshen means drawing near or to draw near. It means a separation. It means holiness, a separation from the world. See? Goshen then was a place of refuge for God's people who lived in Egypt, the world, but were not of the world. And when the flies were released, of which we know flies are a symbol of the demonic, right? As Satan is called the Lord of the flies, if you remember that in the scripture, for those who had drawn near and were separated from the world, Goshen, God put a hedge of protection around them, okay? And our spirit, right, if you're born again, your spirit cannot be demonized. No demon can get in there. The Bible says the seed of God dwells in our spirit. But that's not so of the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion, and that's not so of the body. These spirits can get in your soul, but they can't get in your spirit because the Holy Spirit will not dwell with a bunch of demons. Okay? We are three parts, body, soul, and spirit. The demons don't live in your spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit lives. See? But they do live in the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions, and they live in your body. Otherwise, nobody would be getting cancer in their body, and nobody would go, we'd be going on to all these mind meds as Christians, and getting all messed up and demonized with them. See? But no, demons can get in there, and demons work them over real good in those areas, and when they have an open door to do so. Anyway, for those Christians who refuse to draw near, there will be a falling away. The scripture speaks of a falling away in Thessalonians and in Matthew. It speaks of great tribulation there in Matthew, and we might look at that a little bit. But those who go to Egypt, the world, for help, what's going to happen to them? They're going to fall. They're not going to be able to continue, you know, in victory, because they're going where they're forbidden to go. They're not told to go to Egypt or the world for your help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Okay, so we got to remember that. And I truly believe there is more to dwelling in Goshen than meets the eye. In Goshen, there's refuge, and wherever there's refuge, there's deliverance. For the place of deliverance is the place of refuge, too. See, why is that, Pastor Kyle? Well, as long as we're loaded with demons, which everybody who, you know, has not had deliverance is, right? If you haven't had deliverance, I remember when I first started getting deliverance on the Sea of Galilee in Israel with some deliverance ministers from the East Coast. And we started doing it in our church, just beginning in our church. But then I got a whole bunch of it when I went over to Israel by these deliverance ministers, you know, up to what I think we stayed up till, what was it, 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. in the morning doing deliverance or something on me. I didn't know all that stuff was in me. And most people don't know what all's in them, okay? And so, yeah, as long as we're loaded with demons, which everyone has not had devils cast out in deliverance ministry, there's no peace, or only a temporary peace, right? I mean, we have the peace of the Lord to somewhat, but then those demons start troubling us again. And yeah, you go back and repeat the same old habit patterns, or you just go so far with God, and then like you hit a wall, you can't go any further. Well, that's sure proof that there's demons in there, right? But a place of refuge is a place of peace. And without deliverance, I don't think there is any permanent peace, for demons will rob you of your peace. Now, you'll have peace in your spirit, but see, they want to camp around the spirit and block the things of your spirit that are in your spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, the gifts of God and the fruit of the Spirit, all those things that are available to every believer in their spirit. So I ask you a question, is the church at peace today? No. There's so much infighting, there's strife and division and doctrinal wars and worship wars and internal conflicts in the churches today. The Bible says if two or three can agree as touching anything, it shall be done. But you know, it's hard to find two or three believers to agree. It's even hard to find husbands and wives to agree, really agree on something as touching something. So is the church as a whole today dwelling in Goshen? Well, one reason is, you know, because it has rejected deliverance. A church who doesn't teach or pursue deliverance will not be at rest. That's right. Hey, that's why you don't have rest. You have spirits that need to be cast out, and they're churning away on the inside. See, doing their thing, waiting for the next opportunity to influence you or to manifest their personalities and characters through you. See? And so when you draw near to God, part of that process should be get rid of the evil spirits. Right? Yeah. I remember, too, when I was in Israel the first time, and I told a woman in our group that she had demons. Well, man, as a fine Christian woman, she couldn't believe it, and it troubled her for the days she was there, and she thought about it over and over and over. It was troubling to her, right? I mean, she was like much of the church today. She was blind. She had ministry, and she was involved in a ministry, but she was kept ignorant about the need she had for deliverance, and the need that every believer has for deliverance. And so many Christians remain ignorant today, and that's a tragic thing, I tell you. See, our help is not in the world, though, folks, but in Christ, in Goshen. Let's go over to Psalm 1:1. Psalm 1:1. You remember that scripture, don't you? Well, it's a good one to remember. If you don't remember it, it's a good one to commit to memory. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, or the woman, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law, or the word of the Lord, and in his word doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit, his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, you don't want to receive counsel of the world, folks. And, you know, that's what's really sad, to see Christians going to worldly, ungodly counselors, or counselors who, distribute drugs to their people when they ought to be distributing deliverance to them. I mean, where in the Bible does it say go to your, you know, psychiatrist and get a dispensation of drugs, mental mind drugs, to help you? No, it doesn't. It says cast all your cares. Be anxious for nothing. Cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. Be anxious for nothing. You know, a lot of Christians are walking around in high anxiety all the time. Why are they walking in high anxiety when the Word of God said, be anxious for nothing? What's going on, people? How is that scriptural? How does that line up with the Word of God? Laying on a psychiatrist's couch because of their high anxiety? Getting pills for the mind meds? Really? Is that what the Bible said? Go get some mind meds, some pharmakia for your mind? Give me the chapter and verse for that, okay? I don't see it in the Word of God. Jesus said, in my name you shall cast out devils. He didn't say, in my name you should go to the psychiatrist and get some mind meds for your brain so you can cope with the anxiety. Well, listen, the Lord told you how to cope with them. He said to cast them all on the Lord, for he cares for you, see? If you really believed the Lord cared for you, then you wouldn't be having that care. You would have given it to him a long time ago. But see, you say you believe, but a lot of Christians just don't really believe it, because they keep carrying their cares. They keep carrying their anxieties. And the Bible said, be anxious for no thing, nothing. So what thing is it that's got you anxious? What thing is it that got you in anxiety today? Well, you probably have some demons of anxiety. It's very likely that, or you wouldn't be walking around in anxiety all the time, see? Very likely that the spirits of anxiety are there. Okay? Listen, we don't want to think the way the world thinks, because we're not of the world, so we don't need to receive the counsel of the world either, do we? How many Christians today are walking in the counsel of the world, the ungodly? Well, we just said the scripture said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel. You're not going to be blessed if you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. You'll be blessed if you're walking in the counsel of the godly, of the Word of God, and of the men and women of God who know, who are spiritually, you know, mature and can give you godly counsel by the Spirit of God. See? So what are we doing here? I even think that most of the time that really a lot of Christians think most of the time they don't need God. Why, I've got, you know, health insurance. I got my IRAs. I got my retirement fund. I've got my doctor. I've got my psychiatrist. I've got a counselor, a savings account, a retirement fund. I got all this. I'll be all right. You are so wrong. You've accepted the counsel of the ungodly. You've accepted the counsel of the ungodly. Why would you want to accept the counsel of the ungodly when it says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly? We are not supposed to be listening to the world system. That is not our source, saints. Our source is the kingdom of God. Our source is the Word of God. Our source is Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit. That's where we get our information from. You know, That's where we get our information from. Quit accepting the information of the ungodly, which is ultimately the information of Satan, because Satan is the god of this world. See? You've accepted the counsel of the ungodly. You put it before God. Look out, because with the things coming on America and this world, all that may mean nothing, right? Because there'll be safety only in Goshen. So how can I live in Goshen, Pastor? How can I live there? Well, you live in a place of separation and consecration unto God. That's how you can live in Goshen. That's one of the ways. I got several here for you. But does separation mean going and hiding someplace out in the wilderness? No, not necessarily, because we're called to be salt and light, although there may be a time for that, right? The Bible says the night cometh when no man can work. There may be a time for that, but not right yet, not time now. Separation is an issue of your spirit. It's an internal issue that says, I choose God in all things and receive his counsel, and I receive his truth above all that the world has to say. In fact, I just say whatever the world says. If I go the opposite direction, I'll be better off than I would be if I went their direction, right? Huh? Separation means we love the sinner without partaking of their sins. See? Amen? 2 Corinthians 6:17 really explains it again, and I've used this several times recently, but it's so true. It said, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See? So too many Christians today are touching the unclean thing. See? They're partakers. We are separate, yet we're among them, yet we're not of them. See? We live in the secret place of the Most High God. We live in Goshen. We live in a place of security that they don't have. They can have it if they want to get born again. If we lead them to the Lord, hallelujah. God's not willing that any man should perish, any woman should perish, any child should perish. So, yes, praise God. If we can lead them to Jesus, they can come into Goshen too. They can live in a secret place too. They can walk in a place of a covenant with God too. But, oh, yeah, there may come a time when, again, yeah, God has you go to the wilderness, but I don't believe it's that time now. You know, the Bible speaks of that. It says that pray that your flight will not be in the winter, right, and that you won't be with child when you have to go. But it does say the night comes when no man can work, right? You know that. But I don't believe it's right. We're there, quite there yet, see? Amen? So next, you need to recognize you have God's mark on you. Amen. I've got the markings of the Lord on me. Amen. I got God's mark on me. Do you have it on you? Revelation 9:4. It said, it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. We have the seal of God in our forehead. We have the seal of God, the seal of the promise, the Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee until the purchase possession takes place. We have that as well. God makes a distinction between those in Goshen and those who reject him. Living in Goshen, a separate life, will mark you and protect you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that we're marked and we're protected by the Spirit of God that lives in us. Thank God that we have the markings of the Holy Spirit today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not just anybody here. Okay? We're royalty. We're kings and priests. We're joint heirs with Christ. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You need to know your nature and know your authority and know who you are, and then you will know the way you need to walk. Because if you know who and what you are, then you're going to walk as who and what you are by the power of the Spirit in you. If you don't know what you are, you just think you're just kind of somebody who just, you know, was born into this old world and, don't know what you're here for, don't know who you are, don't know what you're here for, any of that. You're just not going to have much of a thinking about who you know, yourself. But notice it said there's a great darkness. A great darkness. Well, there is that right now, isn't there? It's a darkness. People with any discernment at all, you can feel it out there, right? If you have discernment, you can sense the darkness out there. But the Spirit of God is still moving today. People are still getting born again, okay? So the night where no man can work is obviously not here at this point, okay? But our world is in the grip of darkness, right? But there's light in Goshen. There's light in the church. There's light in our secret place of the Most High. Yeah, we have light and we live in the light. And we live in the truth, right? Truth is part of the light. And so, yeah, we could see what's going on. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices like a lot of people are. And there'll be those who have the mark or the seal of God in them and on them, and those who have the mark of the beast on them. Which one are you going to be? Right? I don't want them with the mark of the beast. I'm sorry. And you need to realize that holiness is a refuge for you. God is holy. Holiness is the nature of God, right? And that nature is given to you by grace through faith. So you are holy. And the Bible said, be holy, even as, you know, God is holy. And so we are holy. We're holy. Something is holiness. We can't make ourselves holy, okay? That's something that is a work of grace. That's a work of the Spirit of God. See? So we are being holy by the fruit of the Spirit, by the work of the Spirit working in us. We're separate, right? By sanctification, we're separated from the world. If we walk in that sanctification and allow that process to continue through our lifetime, we are sanctified, but we are being sanctified too, see? And so when thunder, fire, and hail fell upon the earth, which is a type of God's judgment, you're going to be saved, right? Because we will not be judged with the world because we were judged at Calvary. We were judged at the cross. Jesus bore our sins, right? And we received his sacrifice, so. And again, we're not appointed to his wrath, see? But the devil's wrath is different than God's wrath, and the devil's wrath is going on right now. He came down having great wrath. He has great wrath toward people, even the Satanists, you know, that are suing to get to be allowed to have abortions as part of Satanism, you know. But anyway, that's another side trip. But still, the point is that even the Satanists, Satan hates his own Satanists because they were made up out of dirt, right? And they are superior. We are superior. If we walk in our authority as believers, we're superior to Satan. We have authority over demons, in other words. And he hates that. And he hates all of us, especially the Christians. But he hates the whole human race because he's bringing death and destruction and abuse on mankind. He has no respect for mankind, humankind. And we need to realize that. Okay? We need to realize that it's not safe for us to leave Goshen. If we leave the place of drawing near holiness and separation, it's possible that we will perish with the world. Okay? Don't let yourself get in a lukewarm condition, either be hot or cold, but don't get yourself in a lukewarm condition, the word says. Right? Not a safe place to be. And so we're in the place, remember what Goshen means, drawing near holiness, separation. And so we're living in that place of security of for the children of Israel, it was a physical place. But for us, it's both a spiritual and it can be a physical place as well because, you know, 10,000 shall fall at my, you know, they say it, 10,000 shall fall at my right side and it shall not come nigh me, right? Not nigh my dwelling, right? See, there is a Goshen for us under grace. And so, hallelujah. See, I mean, this is glorious stuff, folks. I mean, we need to thank God for these realities and begin to just dwell in our place of Goshen, in God, and not let the devil steal that from us, not let the enemy, you know, rob us from the things of God so easily, the sin that so easily besets us. Notice that, it so easily comes in. If we don't keep ourselves, you know, in the love of God, by the power of the Spirit of God working through us, you know, if we don't keep ourselves in there, in that place where God is, then listen, the enemy will try to get at you and control your life and mess up your home, your marriage, your children, your family, your health, and everything you can get away with. See, your finances, your stuff, break your stuff if he can get away with it. Hallelujah. But if you're a tither, you know, hallelujah, that makes a big difference, right? The Lord does give protection to tithers that the non-tither doesn't even have. So we are blessed because of being a tither. That gives us some protection that we wouldn't already, you know, we wouldn't automatically have. But we do have it because we're tithers and we believe. But the other doors can be open in a person's life and that will come in and still the enemy still come in and attack, even though you are a tither, because you have these other doors open that you need to shut on the enemy. Amen? Need to shut them closed on the enemy. Hallelujah. So if we leave the place of drawing near holiness and separation, it's possible that a Christian can perish with the world. The Egyptians cried to their God to deliver them when the judgment fell on them. And yet there was no deliverance in those false gods. The devil cannot deliver you. Okay? Oh, he can fake something out and make it look like it, but it's not real. See? And he sure can't stand against God doing what he's doing, you know, and be successful. If God's determined to do something, what devil in hell can stop him? And this world will cry to its gods as well. And what's one of the big gods right now? Technology is one of the big gods right now. Yeah, AI, technology, all of that, they think that's going to deliver them. That's going to deliver mankind and take them into the great reset and the new age and all these things that they have planned that Satan has planted in their mind for them to plan. It's deception. It's grand deception, of course, and we know that, but they don't know that. They're deceived. See? And so this world's going to cry to its gods as well when troubles come. And you say, what gods? I told you, the gods of technology, the gods of money, the gods of sorcery. Yeah, they're going to cry out the pharmakia, the medical field, that again, sorcery, and the god of this world, and out-and-out Satan worship, which is greatly propagated today, the witchcraft, which is greatly propagated today, of course, really became larger and increased when the Harry Potter books and films came out. As each one came out, more was, you know, released, and more demons were released as more and more people got into witchcraft. And Christians got into that too. And Christians thought, oh, there's nothing wrong with Harry Potter. Well, they were deceived. And they are deceived if they still believe that. And so all these things, the god of military might and war, that's another one another one of the gods of this world. I mean, no, they use that one a lot. Mm-hmm. Certainly. Go to Psalm 4. Let's read another chapter here. Psalm 4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. That's right. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Here we are. Amen. Who wants to go down to Egypt? Not me. What do you want to go down to Egypt for in the first place? To get your help. Why did Israel go down to Egypt to get help? Because they were missing God. They were not in separation. They were not walking separate. They were in bed with those nations around about them, in bed with the world, in bed with idolatry. But no, God hears the call of his own, not those of the world. The only condition he hears the call of the world is concerning their salvation, is they're crying out to be saved. And concerning the saved, I mean, hey, he hears the call of his own. And we read verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, For thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. Only the Lord can make us dwell in safety in Goshen. See, we have our place of Goshen, 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 and that's where we need to be abiding. Amen. That's right. You know, we haven't seen anything yet, really, and it's getting pretty bad, and things are getting pretty chaotic and confused out there. But verse 8 is our promise, even in the midst of chaos and turmoil. And the world is in chaos and turmoil. The world can't help but be in chaos and turmoil. But why is the church joining in with that chaos and turmoil? The world, yeah, I understand that. They are of their father, the devil, the god of this world. So no wonder they're in confusion, chaos, and misery and all that stuff. They ought to be, because they're serving the devil by default. You know, they might think they're serving themselves, but by default they're serving, you know, the devil. If they're not, you know, if they're not following after God, they're following after the devil. They can't help it. There's no other. There's only two choices in this world. You're either for me or against me. That's what the Bible says. You're either Christian or you're a non-believer. See? And so why would a Christian want to try to walk the fence in the middle? I mean, really? That's got to be a painful place to try to be. And so as God allows this world to reap the whirlwind and judgment falls more and more, there's only one place for us to abide, folks, in Goshen. Amen? Amen. See, demons have knowledge of how to prepare a sleeping church for a great grand deception. That's right. Do you not think that the demons who indwell believers are not prepping and preparing their host to be deceived in a grand deception? Hey, the grand deceptions are coming. We need to face that. We need to wake up. And a lot of them are coming through the church. You know, that's the amazing thing that a lot of believers have a hard time seeing. They think it's just going to be some, you know, Antichrist beast system set up somewhere, you know. But, hey, a lot of the deception's coming through the church. Not the world. I mean, listen, why is that? Well, if it came only through the world, then only the world would buy into it. But no, it's going to come through it in the so-called church. It will look like God, smell like God, so that many will buy into it as God. And yet, it will be off, and it will take people off and out of Goshen. They'll no longer draw near to the true God. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 14, 15. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So here we see Satan is transformed to an angel of light. So he's deceiving a lot of Christians. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 24, if it says Christ is over here, then don't go over there. We know where Christ is. He's living on the throne of our heart by the Holy Spirit. We don't have to run over here. Oh, Christ is over here. In other words, an anointing is over here. But how many know all anointings are not the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Not the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There's an unholy anointing that will masquerade as the Spirit of the living God, even though it is not the Spirit of the living God. They will try to masquerade as that. See? And we need to be not ignorant about these things, as it tells us in verse 4, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And this is what's going to happen in these last days. Being corrupted from the simplicity, you know. It's not complicated. The gospel, good news, and it's not complicated. For if either cometh, preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, see, that's a demon, which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. In other words, yeah, they might, you know, be deceived and just follow with them. Satan, as an angel of light, has already gotten people to believe in another Jesus, another spirit, whom Paul did not preach. He's already gotten them to do it. He's already got them to do it today. look at the different things that have happened over the years that people have gone after and been deceived in. So many things that we could call, not to mention the cult, the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons. You know any Mormons? They're deceived. They're going to hell. Oh, but they're so sincere. Yeah, but they're sincerely wrong. See, they're sincerely deceived, right? Totally. No matter how sincere they are, if you're believing the wrong thing and you got it from the wrong source, you're still wrong no matter what, okay? No matter what kind of pretty Bible picture you put, I read my Bible. I read the Book of Mormon. Yeah, but you're still lost because you took up another spirit. Any denomination that believes that Jesus and Satan are equal, what the Mormons do, which the Mormons do, are deceived. Because Satan was a created being. Jesus was never created. He is the I Am. He created the earth, it says in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Jehovah's Witness, they don't believe that Jesus is God either, see? And so, yeah, these people are deceived. Thousands of them, millions of them. Millions of people in cults. Not to mention people that get deceived in Christianity and go after strange gods, too. I mean, that's another thing, too. So, yeah, there's a modern-day false Jesus, a false Christ, another Jesus, even though there is not another Jesus. But, yeah, there are those who are masquerading as Jesus, a deceptive, subtle, sneaky, deceptive Jesus, deception that departs from the faith, takes out the blood of Jesus, and other sound biblical truths, solid biblical truths, see, that we believe and stand on as the Word of God today. Okay? So what's going on? See, right now, Satan and his ministers in the church are appearing as ministers of righteousness. And one way they can do that is legalism. Right? What does the Bible say about legalism? When you go back under the law, it says you're fallen from grace. So there's people who could get into the Hebrew roots group and go back to keeping the law and even offering animal sacrifice again and think that they're just doing, you know, everybody else is off. And a lot of them are teaching that all that Paul wrote in the Bible is wrong and shouldn't even be in the Bible. I've heard them say that, and that's not accurate either. Because Paul brings us a lot of the truths about grace, and that's why they want him out of the Bible, see? And so, yeah, there are many that are being deceived right now through Hebrew roots and through law-keeping and other deceptions as well. They think that Jesus is telling them to keep the old covenant law. They're in danger of falling from grace, like it says in Galatians. Foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you? Right? Remember, Paul told them they were bewitched when they went back under the law. And he says, what is wrong with you? You got saved by faith through grace, or by grace through faith, and now you want to go back under the law? Really? Galatians 3, oh, foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you? You should obey not the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only what I learned of? You received the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? So, yeah, here they were going off into legalism again, going back under the law when that's not what the Bible says to do. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What was the yoke of bondage? It was the law. That's what it's speaking of. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again, this is chapter 5, verse 1 through 5 here. And so I testify again that every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. That's how serious it is, see. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. That's how we live, faith which worketh by love in grace, see? But Judaizers, you know, they are the modern-day Judaizers who say, don't say Jesus, that's pagan. Say Yah or some other name, Yeshua only or another deceptive name. I mean, they got these different names that you can only say, you know, Jah or different ones, Yahweh or this, that, or the other. Another deception is the false signs and wonders, false prophecy. Some have elevated personal prophecy above the Word of God. Or equal to the Word of God. That's not accurate. That's a demon operating there, and their demons will give false prophecy sometimes to people. You know that because they had occult activity before they were saved, and they will think that they're giving a word from the Holy Spirit, and they're giving something under the influence of a witchcraft spirit, a false prophecy, see? Because they have the occult in their path and they haven't been delivered yet from it, and so they have those occultic gifts and operations still. Because they didn't get delivered. They didn't get cast, those spirits cast out of them when they got saved. So, yeah, they'll masquerade as the Holy Spirit. And more, the Word says the deceiver will sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. Well, where is the temple of God? How many know where the temple of God is? You and I are the temple of the Holy Ghost, so he's going to try to set himself up in the church and deceive that he is God. In other words, there'll be another God, another one claiming to be God in the church, and will deceive many. See, 2 Thessalonians 2:4. It says, whoso opposes and exalts himself above all things that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Well, in the New Testament, what is the temple of God? We are the temple of God in the New Testament. He don't dwell with temples made with hands, but he dwells in the fleshly tables of the heart. He dwells in us, right? And so what's the temple in the New Testament? We are the temple in the New Testament. The believer, the church. And yeah, they may build a temple too in Jerusalem and have another deception with that. But the thing is, if this is to really work on the church, he will set himself up in the church as God as well. And so, yeah, you need to pursue deliverance for these little deceivers who inhabit believers who are prepped by their master Satan to deceive as well as control and cause you ongoing problems in your Christianity and even to pull you away from true Christianity, having you something that looks like Christianity, but it's not. See, they know Satan planned to deceive the whole earth in the final conflict that's about to fully take place before the Lord's return, and we know that's coming. And we need to be aware of it too, because the devils know about it, and they're planning their little strategies. They're planning their little deception. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it may be aliens, which really, you know, are fallen angels. They come in spaceships. They've been prepping this one for a long time now. You know that. Area 51 and the disclosure that they want to have take place, right? And they're just going to wait for the right time, and they're going to reveal the aliens, and they're going to tell you a lie, and you're going to believe a lie. A lot of people out there, not necessarily you, but a lot of people are going to believe a lie. They've been prepping for this disclosure for a long time. Also, false Christ, false anointing. Yeah, all these things we see in Matthew 24 coming. Be ready, be wise, as serpent, gentle as dove. We need to realize that even though our nation may have a form of godliness still, we have departed from the living God as a whole. I mean, not all the Christians, but a lot of the governments of this world and the governments of this nation, they have departed from the living God. They have a form of godliness, and a great evil is just ahead in this country. Economic problems are here, sexual diseases, as well as sexual perversions of all kinds, right? And confusion is on the land because of the sexual perversion on the land. Spirits of confusion have been loosed, and some Christians don't even know if they're a man or a woman now. Of sexual pedophilia going on and weather wars and wars and famines and coming in greater intensity all the time. All the idols of mankind are going to be proven to be worthless, though. That's right. The world will continue to get worse and worse. But hallelujah, will you choose to dwell in Goshen? Or will you choose to dwell in the world system and have it be your protection? Oh, yeah. They're going to get worse and worse, as it says in Revelation 16:11, and blaspheme the God of their heaven because of their sins, right? And their deeds, and repented not of their deeds. I bind you, Satan. He is a liar. Amen? But you got to choose. Will you choose to dwell in Goshen, or will you follow them? By dwelling in the place of drawing near and closeness to God, holiness, separation from the world and unto God, will you dwell there? By dwelling there, you will be able to have victory and overcome the powers of this darkness. Learn to obey God and don't participate in the sins and the bondage of this world system any longer. Okay? Come ye out from among them. Will you dwell in Goshen today? Will you make your choices today? Sometimes, you know, you have to make that choice moment by moment. Not just in one day, once a day. Okay? Dwell in the place of regular ongoing liberty from those little devils and deceivings out there that try to attach themselves to your soul. Amen. We need to draw nearer and nearer to Jesus. And as we do, so dwell in Goshen and get free from these internal, infernal invaders, those demons that have attached themselves. Amen. We truly have been invaded. Okay? And people are carrying alien entities, demonic entities, from another dimension that they know not of. Okay? They don't know what they're carrying. A lot of people just are ignorant of the devices of the devil and how he works. Let's not remain ignorant of these body soul snatchers. That's right. Who desire to continue to manipulate you and to control your life and control the human race as they inhabit them, right? And that's what they're doing, because many have opened doors to these spirits and keep letting them in. Remember that show, The Invaders? Right? Well, it's time that we have some David Vincents rise up, right, and go around, hey, listen, like David Vincent, right? He went around trying to tell everybody that we have invaders who live in people, but no one would listen. You know, I kind of felt like, hey, I've been talking to a lot of people for a long time, but a lot of people are not listening. Well, we too need to let people know people have been invaded and need to be delivered and freed from these demonic entities, these deceivers, and these trespassers, and personal invasion of devils that they've had in their life. Yeah. The Bible says that at the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear. And this is exactly what we see going on. This is a reality today. Excuse me. In the church and out of the church. A lot of people are going to die early because of fear. And I'm not cursing anybody. I'm just stating some facts, because if you give place to fear devil long enough and you entertain them, what does it say? Men's heart will fail them for fear. This scripture doesn't say just wicked people's hearts will fail them for fear. It doesn't say that. Okay? Luke 21:26, read it yourself. People who refuse, but I'm running out of time, so I don't want to look there right now. But people who refuse to deal with their fears and their demons of fear will have heart problems and heart failures and issues with circulation and on and on and on. They'll have physical things going on ultimately. may not be right away, but it'll happen eventually if they don't die first from something else, an accident or something. But fear is not a good bed partner. In fact, it's not a good partner at all. How many know that? It's a killer, folks. Fear, devils are sabotaging the saved and the lost. Okay? You're not dwelling in Goshen when you're dwelling in the land of fear. Okay? Jesus said, fear not, for I am with you. Right? Whoever gives place to fear, see, whether it be saved or lost, those are the ones who are going to be controlled by it. And some Christians live in a state of perpetual fear. I have known them. They're suffering in more ways than one. Okay? Even right now, I know some who are suffering. That's right. It even may kill them physically unless they confess fear as sin in their life and get the demons out. Say, Father, forgive me. I have been in fear. And I know that you said, fear not. You commanded me not to walk in fear, but to walk in faith. So, Father, I repent for being in fear. Do that if you've been in fear. Go to them and confess. I confess the sin, Lord, of my life of fear. I have given place to the spirit of fear instead of place to the spirit of God in my life. And I have been troubled by that fear. That's right. I'm telling you, if you've been walking that way, and a lot of Christians are, they're afraid they aren't going to be able to pay their bills. They're afraid for their health. They're afraid for their children. They're afraid for their husband or their wife. They're afraid they're going to lose their job. They're afraid of having a wreck in a car. They're afraid to fly in an airplane. They're afraid to ride the train, afraid to ride the bus, afraid to go swimming. Oh, something's going to happen to me. Something's going to happen to my family members. I rebuke you, devil of fear. See? Don't tolerate that. Don't tolerate that. Stop entertaining fear devils in your life. You are not fully dwelling in Goshen when you're entertaining those fear devils. That's right. So confess it as sin and get those devils and demons of fear out. For God has not given me a spirit of fear. Well, who did? The devil did. Get it, folks. The devil gave you that spirit of fear. God didn't give it to you. God don't hand out spirits of fear. He's not in the business of dispensing spirits of fear. That's what the devil does. Perplexity of nations. We see that today. Perplexity of nations. Oh, man. The Bible says that the Greek word is aporia, meaning at a loss for a way. That's perplexity of nations. This is at a loss for a way. In other words, for a resource, for finding no solution. It means finding no solution to their embarrassments. Yeah, there is no solution except Jesus, and they're not finding him. In a sense of being at wit's end, it also means at a loss of how to proceed. Isn't that the condition that the world sees itself in? Without resources, right? In other words, the present mess the nations are in, what it's talking about, they're in a mess, a big mess, aporia. And they're at a loss for a way to go, at a loss for resources, to finding no solution. They're finding no solution to their embarrassments. In a sense, being at within, they are at within, in a sense, at a loss of how to proceed in life without the resources. They don't have the resources because without God, there is no resource. Yeah. It's the result of following the devil, the god of this world, and letting Satan rule the nations. You've let Satan rule the nations, you're going to reap the fruit of Satan ruling your nation. And that's what we're seeing happening. You know, we have a Biden devil up in the White House, and he is reaping the fruit and bringing the fruit on this nation of serving the devil. Yeah, that's the kind of fruit we're seeing. It's being released there by his administrators and his handlers, and by Obama, and all of these that are behind his government. And we're seeing it being released. There's no resources for that. See? Without repentance, without a turning to God, there's no hope. It's just going to get darker and darker. But if God's people will turn to God in this nation and pray and bind and loose and do spiritual warfare, they can begin to see things change. Amen. They could begin to see a national awakening and renewal and a revival, and things can turn around in this nation to some degree, even though all this stuff that's written in the book of Revelation will happen. But it can be changed as far as seeing people come to Jesus, because the Bible says until the gospel is preached into all the world, the end will not come. So let's get it preached, folks, so we can see Jesus come back in our time. Amen. So it's the result of following devils and blatant Satan rule. That's what we're seeing the results of here. So no wonder they're having all these things go on. And, of course, how much of it is the government actually doing? Yeah. See, it doesn't say that God would do these things. It says that God's not going to do these things until the very end, and when the wrath of God is poured out. That's different. But this is Satan's work and the work of evil men under the influence of Satan. So no good can come out of satanic rule, out of Satan's rule over the world. No good comes out of it. Satan is not good. He has no good. There is none good but God, the Bible says. So Satan has no good in him. So we need to cry out to the living God, folks. We need to cry out with all of our heart, Jesus, fill me up. Let me dwell in the land of Goshen. Let me dwell in that secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Most High, under your wings, Elatra. You know, turn from wickedness, folks. This needs to start with God's church on the earth. Confess. Confess that multitude of our sin and be cleansed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then the church can rise up and come alive and not be the lukewarm church, but be a bold, brave, militant, advancing church who casts out devils and doesn't tolerate these devils staying in their lives, but gets rid of them, hates the devil and hates the work of evil, because the Bible has commanded us to hate evil. So we hate the devil and his evil because he is evil. And we embrace the things of the Spirit in this hour like never before. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this word tonight. We thank you for the power of your Spirit working in us right now as we yield to you, Father, as we live in the land of Goshen, even in the midst of all manner of evil taking place in this world, Father. We have a place of refuge, Father, that these things need not come upon those of us who would believe to live in Goshen. And Lord, those of us who will want to get free of these demons that are attached still to us, Lord, we can see that deliverance take place, Father, as we have already seen many of us, deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. But we're going to see more because we know that it is a progressive work. As long as we're on, as long as we haven't got our new body, we have to, you know, subject ourselves to deliverance and get rid of anything that still might be hiding, because next year we might be ready to get rid of something that we weren't ready to get rid of this year. And 5 years from now, we might be ready to get rid of something that we weren't ready to get rid of right now. So it is a progressive work as we grow in grace, Father, as we get rid of these things. We thank you, Lord, for that work of grace in our lives, a progressive deliverance, Father, that we can continue to go forward with that, Father, and have more and more of our eyes open to see what's going on and get rid of these things of darkness in Jesus' name as we fight the good fight of faith and stand against all the wiles of the wicked one and prevail against them in this hour, because the church will prevail. Satan will not prevail. Hallelujah. Jesus will prevail. he's going to have the last word. The devil's not having the last word. Jesus said the gospel is going to go to the whole world, and then the end comes. So God's going to do that. The glory of God's going to do that. The power of God's going to do that. The devil can't stop the gospel from going to the whole world. He can't do it. He tried already for generation after generation, and he hasn't been able to snuff out the gospel, Lord. We thank you that he can't do it. It's not possible. Thank you, Jesus, for holy boldness for all of us, Lord, to be the men and women of God that you called us to be. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen, amen, amen. All right, folks, it's been good sharing the word with you. Now we're going to go do some deliverance in just a few minutes. We're going to go and cast out some demons for a while. So we will be right at just back here in just a few minutes, and we will cast them out. Amen. Amen. Be back in a few minutes.
Without your love, I'd rather be with the one I know will always be with me than have the throne of a king. 'Cause it would be nothing more than just a handful of nothing compared to all your love can bring. And I know that someday
do some deliverance for a little while here. Hope you enjoyed the word of God. Hope it blessed you. Hope you cried out to God to work in your life mightily in these last days and to dwell in the land of Goshen. Amen. That secret place of Goshen. I know, you know what, you know, I think that a lot of average Christians would not like to even listen to this broadcast. I hate to say that. I mean, I'm sad when I think about that, but, you know, I think a lot of people would just reject it because it's too radical for them. It's not something they used to, not something that, and so if it's foreign to them in any way, they're going to say, no way, you know, they hate to face the fact that they got demons. That's hard for a lot of Christians to face that. I mean, it's not an easy thing to to come to a place of facing that, hey, I got some demons in me. I need to get delivered from this. But, you know, if you understand body, soul, and spirit, you understand all of these things, and it actually should be a relief to people. Now I understand why this has gone on in my life. Now I know why I've had this this pattern throughout my years. That's right. Oh, I have repeated this over and over and over, and why things haven't changed. And I've been a Christian, and I've studied the Word, and I've done this, and I've done that, and still these same things remain. Now I get it. Now I understand. It's because of the demons in me, and the curses, and the generational curses. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, if they want to keep their demons, I guess they could just keep them, you know. But I don't want to keep any. I hate those things. I don't like them. But there's a lot of people, man, they're complacent, man. Complacent about it. Lord, have mercy. Let's get rid of something. Yeah, let's get not put up with these things. Amen. Amen. We come against these spirits right now in the name of Jesus. We serve you notice that you have to come out as you're commanded to come out in Jesus' name. And we rebuke you and send the mighty angels into battle against you right now and command that these spirits of deception to come out of people right now. Deceiving spirits, come out. Come out. Any deceiving spirits that have set you up to be deceived in the last days, you come out right now in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. I bind you. I break your hold over people's life. Deceiving spirits, spirits of deception. Spirits that would lead somebody, try to lead somebody astray. You come out of people right now. You got to go all the way out. All the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. Those deceiving spirits, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Come all the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. Loose people and let them go all the way out. Up and out of there. Self-deception, deceiving spirits, spirits of deception that have been released on many today. We rebuke those spirits, command them to come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, come out of there. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep coming out, all the way out, all the way out. All the way out, all those spirits of deception come out, all those hindering spirits that would hinder people from going to the place of Goshen and to dwelling in the secret place of God and the protection of the Lord in these latter days. You come out of people right now. Go, go, come out, hindering spirits, blockages, come out. All the way out, trying to block the Word. Your spirits that try to block people from studying the Word, making them go to sleep. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Those hindering spirits that block them when they go to study the Word, they cannot concentrate, they cannot focus. You come out of there right now. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Those spirits that are sent to rob you of the Word, to rob you of studying the Word, of getting into the Word, meditating on the Word day and night, getting full of the Word. You spirits, come out of there right now. You thieving spirits, come out. You hindering spirits, come out, 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 come out. All the way out. Come out of there. Those hindering, thieving spirits that come to deceive and take the Word away from you, keep you from studying, cause you to fall asleep, cause you to be distracted and think of 100 different other things when you're trying to read your Bible. Come out of there. Come out. All those hindering spirits, all those blockages, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All those hindrances, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, all those hindering spirits that you start to get excited about God, you start to get on fire for God, and then something blocks you. We command those blockages, spirits, to get out of there right now in Jesus' name. of spirits that want to block you from getting full of God. They want to stop you from getting filled up to overflowing with Jesus in your life. You come out of there. Come out, 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 come out. All those blockade spirits, those blockages, those hindering spirits, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Hinder you from having a personal, a renewal and a personal revival and a personal awakening. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out, go in the name of Jesus right now. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep coming out. The blood of Jesus, yes. The blood of Jesus all the way out. Come out, all those hindrances to, an awakening, a stirring of being filled up to overflowing, those hindering spirits, the blockages. Come out, out, out. We break the curse. We break the hindrances. We break your power. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. And if you repented for fear when we had an opportunity for you to confess fear, you come out of there, that spirit of fear now. You've confessed it as sin. Now get rid of the spirit. Come out, fear. Come out, fear. All that fear, come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out, spirits of fear. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. We cast you out in the name of Jesus right now. Come out, come out, come out. All the way out. Up and out of there, up and out of there. Go, go, go. Keep coming out. Up and out. Go, 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 go. Move, 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 move. Up and out of there. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving out. Out, 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 out. In Jesus' name. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus. All that fear. Go. All that fear. Go. Come out. Come out, fear. Come out, fear. Come out, fear. In Jesus' name. Every bit of that fear. You've got to loose people. Let them go. Loose people. Let them go. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out in Jesus' name. I bind you, devil, and break your grip on people's lives. We break your control over people's lives. Come out. Take a few coughs. Get them moving. All that fear, go. All that anger. We also talked about anger. If you confess anger as sin, you're getting rid of that. Come out. All that spirit of anger, come out. Spirit of anger, I bind you, anger. I bind all that anger. Come out, anger. In the name of Jesus, right now, loose people, let them go. All that anger, come out. Come out. Come on. Gotta go. All that anger. Come up out of there. Go. Come out. 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 Come out of there. Up and out. All anger keeps coming. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. I bind you. Break your hold over people's lives now. Come out, anger. All the way out. In Jesus' name, spirit of rebellion, you come out. Spirit of rebellion, if you have a rebellious spirit, you command that to be broken over you and come out of there. We break the grip of rebellion. Come out. In Jesus' name, all that rebellious spirit try to call you to rebel against about the things of God. Sometimes you just don't want to do it. You don't want to listen. You don't want to hear it. Come out. All that rebellion, go. In Jesus' name, and stubbornness about the things of God, too, that stubbornness. We break the curse of stubbornness. Go all the way out. All the way out. Come on, that stubbornness. You got to go all the way, all the way. All that stubbornness. Thank you, Jesus. It's got to go. All that stubbornness, that stubborn spirits, come out. What's it going to take? Some people are so stubborn. It's like they just can't seem to hear God because they're stubborn and don't want to hear on some things. So come out of there. All that stubbornness, you got to go, got to go, got to go right now, all the way out, all the way out. And all that stubbornness, keep coming out. All that stubbornness, go, 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 go. All that fear of man, being afraid of what other people think, you come out too. afraid because you're afraid to tell the truth because you're afraid that they're going to reject you or they're not going to want to be around you anymore or they're not going to like you anymore if you tell the truth. What are you going to do, send them to hell number two? If they're already going to hell and they're not even saved, what are you going to do, send them to hell number three? I mean, come on, we got to not let the fear of man control us. We can't let fear of man keep us from telling the truth when the truth needs to be told. And when we need to speak the truth in love, yeah, we'll tell it in love, but we will tell the truth. And sometimes it won't be in any way you tell it, and you think you tell it in love. It won't be in love because they don't want to hear the truth. I mean, no, a lot of people don't like hearing the truth. They want to hear, what they want to hear, and that's what they're comfortable with hearing. And anything else, they're going to speak evil of you if you say something. But, well, hey, some people like that, you really can't help anyway, so you might as well tell them the truth. Because they aren't going to receive anything anyway because they've made up their mind. They've got some stubbornness going on and they don't want to hear the truth. Even if you presented it to them in all logical reasoning and total logical and made total sense, they still wouldn't receive it. That's tragic, though, because, we want to know the truth. And the Bible said you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free when you know it. And if you refuse to know it, how are you going to be set free, see? Oh, yeah. So, Lord, help people to receive truth today. Yeah. A lot of people don't like the truth because it's too uncomfortable. But, hey, if you want real victory and change in your life, sometimes it gets a little uncomfortable. You got to face some things that might not be pleasant if you're going to change. And get rid of some stuff in your life that needs to be changed and go. And we don't always like that, do we? But keep coming out of there, all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus right now. All that play acting. Some people play like they're Christian, but they're not really, they don't really mean it. They just know how to act it because they've been one for so long and they can act like a Christian when they're not really, they don't really mean it. It's not real to them. So that play-acting spirit, you come out of there. Play-acting, come out. Come on, play-acting spirit, you got to go in Jesus' name all the way out. Play-acting, we rebuke you. Play-acting, come out, 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 in Jesus' name, come out. Play-acting, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Another one is attention getting, wanting attention. A lot of people do a lot of things to get attention. So attention getting, come out, all the way out. Come out, come out, all the way. That attention getting spirit, go in the name of Jesus right now. Attention getting, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All that attention getting, gotta, have that attention, gotta be noticed, gotta be important. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Instead of just giving God the glory for everything and giving him all the praise and, any good thing, is we give the glory to Jesus. I mean, praise God. He's the one who gets the glory. We don't need all this attention to be given to us, and we be so important and special that, we give God the glory. Let him get all of it. Amen. And if he chooses to give us some of it and share it with us, that's up to him. But we're not seeking after that. We don't chase after that. Amen. Amen. So those spirits of judgmentalism, come out. That judgmental spirit, go, come out, come out, come out. The judgmental spirit. Judging others when, you should not be doing that, right? You should just let the judgment, let the Lord judge them, not you have to go judge them. Come out, all the way out. Judge not, lest you be judged, the scripture says. So all that judging spirit, judgment spirit, come out. Come out, judging others, come out, 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 come out. Come out, come out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out of there. The blood of Jesus, be weakened by the blood and go all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus is against you. Come out all the way. Come out, 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 come out. Complacency, you come out. Complacency, come out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Come out, come out, come out. All the way. Inability to comprehend things. You just can't comprehend. Hard for you to comprehend. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, that spirit that blocks comprehension. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Blockages of comprehension. You can't get the word. You can't understand. You can't understand things of the Spirit of the Lord. Come out. All that inability to comprehend the things of the Spirit. Come out. 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 Blind spots in people's lives. You come out. Well, you just have blindness and don't get it. Come out. Blind spot spirits. Come out. 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 Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go in Jesus' name. Go. Come out, 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 come out in Jesus' name. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Play acting spirits, come out. Play acting, come out, come out, come out. Tension getting, come out, come out, come out. Keep going all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Mean spirits, you go. Meanness, come out, come out, come out, come out. Those mean spirits, come out. Make you mean, come out, all the way out. Meanness, come out. Hardness, harshness, come out. Come out, all the way out. Come out, that harshness, that hardness, come out. All the way up out of there. Move in Jesus' name, those harsh spirits. Hardness, harshness, come out. In the name of Jesus, right now, loose them and let them go. All that harshness, hardness, go. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this time and the word together tonight. We thank you for the deliverance time that we had. Feel this deliverance to those who have received some. Pray that they'll keep what they got and walk in it and get closer to you, Father, and greater in the relationship that they have with you, Father, more and more growing in that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing tonight that we had with all the people that have listened, Father, bless them and encourage them and strengthen them. And, Lord, just let them just keep growing and growing and glowing with Jesus and just get filled up in these latter days in a mighty way. And we thank you for doing that in our lives, all of us, Lord. We praise you and worship you. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. All right, amen, folks. It's good to be here tonight with you. Thank you for being here. Lord, bless you. And we'll be back next week, and we'll see you then. You have a blessed weekend, and stay full of Jesus, and appreciate you being here. God bless. Bye-bye. I struggle. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. So much. I tell you, we can trust him. He will see you through the greatest problems of the enemy and all the devices of darkness. He will see you through. Trust him, will you? I mean, God is so good to his children. I cannot even begin to say how good he is, because it's beyond our wildest dreams of how good the Lord is. Oh, my. I tell you, God is so good to you. He's going to take care of you. And so I would encourage you right now to trust in him with all your heart and know that he's going to take good care of you. Amen. Will you believe that about him? Yeah. You know, there's not condemnation, but there is a time that, you know, people do need to confess sin. But we don't live under condemnation. We don't live under, you know, that spirit that there is therefore now no condemnation, right? So I'm not talking about that, but there's a time in people's life that they need to confess sin and they need to deal with it because of the wear on. And they're not dealing with it, and it's an open door for the enemy. So, yeah, there is a time for that. We have 1 John 1:9. That's a faithful scripture. And he cleanses you from all the unrighteousness, and you move on. But he doesn't condemn us. And he's not out to get you, and he's not out to beat you up. And that's not the plan of God. He's a faithful God to those who are his children. So, and he is not doing bad things to you and punishing you. That's not him. The devil does that. The devil wants to do very bad things to you, make you feel like a miserable person all the time, and that God is the one doing it, but it's not. It's not the way that God does things. He's not bringing punishment upon you. He did that on the cross, so you don't have to be punished. But if you are being punished, the devil's punishing you. And he may make you think God's doing it, but that's not true. See, that's what people don't understand. Anyway, I'm going to tell you good night. I need to let you go, and I'm going to go rest. And Lord bless you all. You have a blessed weekend, and be refreshed and renewed in your mind and in your spirit. Let God refresh you, renew you, and strengthen you. All right, we'll see you back next week. God bless you. Goodbye.